It's time for you to define your brand. This podcast is designed to arm you with the tools and confidence needed to build a standout brand in today's marketplace. I'm your host, Matt Crane, and I'm honored to be joined by my co-host and CEO of Rush Impact Marketing and Rush Impact Media, Jeremy Warner.
Matt, it's awesome to be here, and I'm excited to share and engage with our audience, listeners, and special guests that will be joining the show. Most importantly, I'm excited to help all of you take charge of your brand. Matt, you know what we say around here, your brand, your responsibility.
So advice for entrepreneurs, number one, start somewhere. So many people right now are looking at this video, they're planning, they're jotting down their ideas, but they aren't getting started. Now, I'm not a motivational speaker coming to you and being like, yo, live your entrepreneur life. But what I am trying to say is if you have a dream, start a business, do some small project, start somewhere. Try out next week just to create a pilot version of that project and see whether or not you're able to get good feedback upon that idea.
This week on Define Your Brand, hosts Matt Crane and Jeremy Warner welcome 19-year-old whiz kid, serial entrepreneur, venture capitalist, and speaker Manu Goswami as he breaks down his journey from starting his first business at age 7 to meeting his idol, Gary Vaynerchuk, and how he plans on changing the world.
Oh, secondly, make sure that when you start your project, you document it. Put it in video form, in written form, in photos. Anything that you find that you're creatively good at, try to document that journey to inspire people to also do the same.
Let's all welcome Manu Goswami to the Define Your Brand podcast show.
Well, yet another episode of Define Your Brand podcast. And you know, Jeremy, I'm a little nervous about this one because this young buck that we're interviewing today has got a vocabulary that's very expansive. And so Jeremy and I were joking before you came on that we had our dictionaries and our thesauruses out.
Oh,
so
God.
We can make sure we counter some of your wordplay. But you know, Manu, it's an honor to have you on the show. And it's really interesting because Jeremy was actually the first one that really brought you to my attention. And, you know, what really stands out to me about you, more than anything, not your age, not your accomplishments, it's truly your advanced business mindset and professionalism. It's very refreshing, especially in that Gen Z population. And, you know, we're really just excited to have you on the show and to have you share with the audience more about who you are and the impact you truly want to create and leave on this world. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Buddy, I mean, your accomplishments are long and they're moving really, you know, some of the stuff that you've had opportunity, you know, to speak at the United Nations. You are a grand finalist at the World Debating Championship. So, you know, it's a great honor to have you here. And I just want to make sure that the audience understands, what do you prefer to go by? You go by Manu, and I know a lot of people call you Swish. So which one do you prefer?
Which one do I prefer? Swish.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So we'll make sure we get that off to the right start and we pronounce and say your first name the correct way. And but Swish, you have always had a keen entrepreneurship mentality at a such very, very young age. And can you share with our audience, what was the vehicle that allowed you to have this type of mindset?
Yeah, honestly, it was the drive for independence from a very young age. So I know with a lot of American and Canadian families, the child leaves after 18 years old. For my family, which comes from mainly an Indian heritage, I, at 12 years old, felt that my parents were never going to leave me. And not that I wanted them to, but I kind of wanted to be independent, right? Every time I wanted a PlayStation, every time I wanted a Nintendo DS, going up to them and asking for it just seemed so redundant. And at the same time, I knew that I could make money in other ways. So honestly, the initial drive to start businesses, to go after something that could provide me with an income, was to be able to be financially independent at the age of 12, 13, 14, which I know many people might be like, Swish, that's totally naive. But for a big part of my life, my expenses were literally just games, the console, And then sometimes like a birthday gift for my brother's birthday would sadly come around. That's literally it. And it really helped me being able to like get all of that stuff, understand a little more about business and the real financial drive behind it.
Tell us about your, you know, at that young age, I read about all your, you know, businesses that you had. You had a, you started a flower business where you stole flowers out of your neighbor's a yard, and then you wrapped them up in a ribbon and gave them back to him and sold them. And then, you know, you had your hoverboard. But the one that was most interesting to me was the bank that you started at the young age. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that was honestly, I think the bank was probably like the first entrepreneurial experience that I wrote down. I still have the book with me. Essentially, what I thought is, oh, like, you know, I've heard so much that my dad wants me to go into banking. Like, how hard is that? Why do I have to go to college for that? I can start a bank right now. So I was 7 years old in Singapore, and I was just like, I'm going to get all of my relatives to sign on to this bank. And my mom basically asked me, like, what are you going to provide them? I'm like, oh, well, we have like family movie nights and stuff. So I'll give them like coupons for some of the pizza. I'll give them like the right to choose a movie on some night. And in exchange, they're going to give me money. So essentially, this happened for about 3 to 4 months where I thought I was getting richer, but I honestly was not, because people would claim that they'd pay me a deposit. I'd write it down, but I wouldn't actually have the physical money to be able to buy anything. And I think it was only about 4 to 5 months later when my mom sadly had to break the news to me, when I was like, all right, mom, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy something now. But she was like, you don't have money. You don't have any real coins or cash that you can actually go to the store and buy anything with. So that was disappointing. Huh.
You know, but you know, before I go into my question, Swish, what I think is, once again, what I want everyone that's listening to this right now, and everyone that's going to watch, that's watching this on Facebook Live right now, is that did you see how at an early age the wheels were turning, and how he was, it wasn't that he wanted to truly just be financial independent. What you're really hearing from Swish is he was challenging the status quo. He was challenging everything he was being told to do. And I think that beautiful part about entrepreneurship is that it doesn't matter how old you are. Once you get to a certain level of accountability and you understand how to challenge certain things, you really have the opportunity to go one way or the other. So I think that's very, very, very powerful and important. And, you know, once again, it goes to show you that at age 19, ladies and gentlemen, it started when he was 7. So he's 12 years in the game already.
Yep.
But, you know, Swish, you're quoted as saying, I'm a counterpuncher in a world where everyone wants to be the aggressor. Can you just break that down for our listeners and explain how you came to that conclusion?
Yeah. So, I mean, the counterpuncher was super easy. It's exactly what you were talking about, going against the grain, going against the status quo. Throughout my life, I've been told that my age, my particular upbringing, where I was from will determine how successful I will be. But I mean, quite honestly, everything that I've done thus far has in a way proven to me, or at least to other people, that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how old you are. Some of the things that you can do at such a young age are incredible. They're absolutely incredible, especially within the field of entrepreneurship that does not discriminate against age, race, sex, etc. And then the second thing about being an aggressor, I mean, I think there's just so many people in the world that want it, right? Like, so many people want to be able to attain success. They want money. They want power. They want fame. They want legacy. They want all of these things. But in a world where I live in, I go against the grain to get them, while they just simply go after what the traditional way of doing things are and see whether or not they're able to get it.
Well, I like that. And, you know, I like that take on it, because when you say you're a counterpuncher, you know, what I really like about that, again, is it just goes to show you how you're still in that, even though you're moving at a fast pace, you still have slowed your mind down enough to realize that everyone you're meeting is trying to be the aggressor. And what entrepreneurship's really all about is finding a niche, right?
Yep.
Finding where you fit in it, and you don't want to fit into a pool of aggressors. You want to find that room where it's empty, and you want to counterpunch. And once again, I'm just amazed at a lot of your foresight into what's going on. And I told Jeremy the first time you and I talked on the phone, I got off and I thought, man, I'm talking to the CEO of a corporation here. This kid has got an advanced mindset, and his professionalism is off the charts. You know, one other thing too, really quickly, Swish, is when you really think about you at age 7, right? Okay, so I'm kind of going off course here just a tad, but this is something that stood out to me is that, you know, why was it important for you to really expand on your business acumen early on? Because that really seems like something that you've really stayed true to form on.
I think it's because early on, what my dad told me is that there's a difference between creating a brand and having content. There are a lot of people out there today in the world that have an unreal brand. You know, you go on Facebook, they have a bunch of followers. You go on Instagram, they have a bunch of followers. But the reason why, especially I'm here in New York right now, is because I'm trying to build content behind it so that when someone comes up and talks to me and they know that, okay, Swish, he's a speaker, he's an entrepreneur, they actually know that I back up my talk on various issues that I claim to be knowledgeable about. So that's honestly why at such a young age, I didn't want to be like a fake entrepreneur or a wantrepreneur, right? I wanted to be someone that legitimately knew what I was talking about. And when I'm in a conversation then with top heads, with parents, with school teachers, they knew that I knew exactly what I was talking about.
I love it.
I love that question because it actually leads into my second question. And obviously, you know, the podcast is called Define Your Brand. And, you know, in the digital age that we're living in, it is so important to create your personal brand. That personal brand is going to allow you to create the content and all the things that you need to gain the exposure and gain, you know, the recognition that you need across social media. And Swish, in your recent talk on TEDx, you discussed the golden age of social entrepreneurship. Can you share with our audience how important that is to your personal brand?
Yeah, it's the crux of it, right? I wanted to grow my brand again. You know, what would the aggressor do? The aggressor would be, I'm going to build a brand that is all up in your face, that is going to tell you how amazing I am, that is going to tell you about all my accomplishments. I went the other way. I wanted to build a brand that was truly able to help people, that I was able to come up with a number of people around me. And while building their brand and attaching myself to their name, I was able to grow mine as well, right? And that's why I just think the incredible amount of people that I have around me right now, whether it be Gary Vaynerchuk, whether it be Trevor Booker of the Brooklyn Nets, whether it be even the young people who are my contemporaries right now, all I'm doing is not trying to knock down their brand and trying to see as if I'm above them, but I'm just trying to grow with them right now. And that's something that I think is the crux of my brand right now, which is what social entrepreneurship is also all about, right? Social entrepreneurship is about balancing people, planet, and profit. It's not just a profit-driven business. It's more an impact-driven business. And that's what I really like about my brand as well, that it's more focused towards how many people can I reach, not how much money can I make.
Wow.
Well, everyone, right now, once again, we've got Swish Goswami with us right here on Define Your Brand. So everyone on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and Spotify, for everyone that's on our Facebook Live right now, you're learning from a 19-year-old whiz kid. And one of the biggest points that I have to keep going back to this, okay, is that at an early age, how he really wanted to separate himself from everyone else in this Gen Z generation, okay? Before he even knew he was in the Gen Z generation, was he wanted to be someone that knew without question when he spoke, people recognized that he knew what he was talking about. And I've got to commend you for that because, you know, before I get into my question, so many people are stuck, especially now in this age of video, in this age of content and branding. They're really only cared about who they're around and what's being seen and what kind of impressions they can make. And yes, while that's important, it goes back again that I believe that our younger generation has a responsibility to craft relatable, responsible content as well. And I want to commend you for that because, you know, you guys are the future of everything we're doing. And I think that's very, very important. So, you know, you recently got to meet your idol, okay? And you're on record saying that this guy is your hero, your idol, someone you look up to. Now you're in New York and you're getting ready to embark on some things with him. My main man, Gary Vaynerchuk, okay? What was that meeting like and what was your biggest takeaway?
So that meeting, which was, you know, about a year from now in August, was – I actually don't even know, man, how to describe it. Like, you see this guy on YouTube videos all the time. And honestly, the first time I started watching him, I didn't like him. You know, like, he was way too agnostic. He was like all up in my face telling me what to do. And I'm like, please, I'm having lemonade right now. But at the same time, I mean, the biggest thing about Gary that just stuck out to me as like a really great takeaway is how much he cares about people. Like, I actually genuinely do believe that he basically steps away from a lot of money every day because he chooses to go down the route of exposure and attention over money and conversion. And that's something that's incredible, right? In a world where, you know, if Gary wanted to, he could get all of his followers to buy a particular product, which he would get commission off, which a lot of people do when they reach that level of fame. Gary's just still providing content to us for free anywhere that you want. And that's unreal. And so that's actually the biggest takeaway I took from him is I think deep down in his heart, though he might not admit this, I think he genuinely cares about what people thinks about him. And more importantly, I think he cares more about helping people than anything else.
Well, and you've got something pretty sweet coming up in February of 2018. You're actually going to be sharing the stage with Gary V at Generation Now. Now, is that taking place in Toronto, correct?
In Niagara, which is, really near Toronto. Yeah, about 20 minutes.
Okay. Are you excited about that?
I honestly, I had goosebumps when I saw that it was going to happen. Like, I am so excited. Because I remember last time at this very event, it was the second time I ever met him. I was put in the back of his car and I was told to scare him because, I guess the organizer knew about our relationship. But I was in the back of his car and I scared him. And, at that event, when I was seeing him talk, I was like to myself, how great would it be to be able to talk with Gary Vee on stage? So it's going to be crazy. Like, the rest of the speakers on the lineup are also incredible. So it'll be a fun weekend.
Well, that's good. Well, it truly is a nice culmination of all the things you've worked towards. And I think at the end of the day, would you say that if you truly believe in something and you truly think it, you can manifest it in actual reality?
Definitely. You know, as long as people realize that, you know, I think a lot of times a lot of people tell me Swish, when I set my mind on something, I'm able to attain it. I think that's true for 90% of the audience listening to this right now, right? If you really set your mind on something, you're able to attain it. The problem is some people, they take that very quote or they take that idea and they apply it for things that are honestly meant to be built in the long run. Right? Things like legacy, things like building a brand, doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in 2 months. It doesn't happen in 1 year. It takes time. You have to nurture it. And that's why I think when it comes to this idea of setting your mind on something, people aren't necessarily able to achieve their goals because in an 8 month, in a 12 month, in a 14 month process, their mind gets diverted and they aren't able to focus on simply building one thing or building two things.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And you know, one thing that I completely agree with you on is, you know, I truly believe that Gary, you know, he really cares about how he helps people and that really impacts him. And that is a lot of his driving force on why he's pushing out the content and adding value, you know, over and over and over and over again. Obviously, you know, he's building his brand, but he really doesn't care about that because he knows it's going to do it itself because he's authentic and, mm-hmm. and he, you know, he has a certain message that he's portraying, but at the same time, he knows that being himself and teaching everybody else that he's going to help people along the way and bring them up with him. So, you know, I agree with you. I think he's always out to help as much as possible. And I see that in you too, you know, watching your YouTube videos, seeing some other things that you've been doing and a lot of stuff that you've been, you know, involved with, it's about helping first, you know, and that's a great characteristic because it shows, you know, a lot of leadership. So my next question, and this is going to be a crazy question, but coming from your latest YouTube video, okay, the one that was 43 seconds long, and I took a lot of key points from it, okay? Cool. What are some of your biggest advice for aspiring entrepreneurs, and how can you help them with their journey?
Yeah, so there's two things there. The first is any aspiring entrepreneur needs to realize that planning is great, but executing is better, right? So whenever you have a plan, whenever you have an idea, write it down, Take your time to talk to your friends, your family, the people who are truly close to you about it. Get advice on the idea, get feedback upon the idea, maybe find even a co-founder. But if that takes you 4 months to do, that's far too long. By now, the market has changed. Your idea might not be relevant anymore, or someone else might be doing it at a way faster speed, right? So one thing that I like to do is tell people, take a week to go through that planning process if you want. But right after that, create a pilot project of it. Start something as small as, you know, just taking the idea and implementing it in your school, or taking the idea and implementing it within your condominium. Literally doing something like that could at least give you an idea of how it feels on the very micro level to go about one day of doing that job, or providing that service, or building that product. And that just gives you just such a great mindset on how to be able to scale it up, because now you know how it is in the most raw and small form possible, and you can imagine how it's going to be when you blow it up. How I can help people there? LinkedIn, my friends. Like, again, going back to this whole aggressor and counterpuncher, in a world where everyone is just on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, I decided to go down the route of, let me just use LinkedIn, right? Everyone thinks of LinkedIn as a substitute for a resume or a place to find a job. No one thinks about building their brand on LinkedIn and putting out content that can connect people together and help them. And so the best way to reach me is LinkedIn. If you want advice on anything, just comment on a post. I am going to see it because I like every single comment that I get. But I don't check every message that I get. So yeah, that's my little spoiler there.
What, you know, the crazy thing here, Swish, for me is that, you know, one of the first guys that I really paid attention to when I wanted to jump into this realm of social media was Lewis Howes. And it's funny because Lewis Howes was kind of like that pioneer on LinkedIn. And what I think is so amazing about this is that here comes a young buck like yourself, and you're kind of going against the current, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else is in the wave is in the wave of Facebook and Instagram, which is important. But here you are being that counterpuncher, getting on LinkedIn, and so if people really want to follow you on LinkedIn, what do they do? Just simply go to LinkedIn and search for Swish or Manu, or what do they need to search for?
Manu or Swish, I hopefully will be the first hit now that you'll see. But all you got to do, just hopefully, all you got to do is, I mean, and honestly, I have many connection requests, and I honestly can't filter through all of them. So the best way to reach me is just by commenting on my most recent post, because I check every single comment. I go through it. Even if there's 500, 1,000, 1,500, I will check your comment. But no, on the point of Lewis Howes, like, I recently interviewed Lewis for a LinkedIn article that I was doing. And man, that guy's brand on LinkedIn is unbelievable, right? A lot of people think he's huge on YouTube, on Facebook. He's 10 times bigger on LinkedIn. Everyone knows about him on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, you know, for once again, if you're out there listening across our platforms, for everyone that's on Facebook Live, my man Swish Goswami is here tearing down the podcast. And, you know, Jeremy, I got to tell you, buddy, when you brought him to my attention, you know, it wasn't that I was skeptical. I'm thinking, I've seen a lot of these young cats online. I've seen them do all this, this, and this. But what really stood me out about you, and now I understand when you talk about being that counterpuncher, is you're going away from a lot of the flashy stuff. You're really implementing a level of professionalism that I think is important. And I go back to it. It is that, you know, everybody has a flavor and everybody has things that they respond to. And for me, that was something that stood out the most. And I gotta really tell you, I'm so humbled and honored to have you on our show, but more importantly, to be able to learn from you, because I learn something from you every time I watch a post or get to talk to you or have an interaction. And it's very, very impactful for me. So thank you for that opportunity.
Same here. Honestly, like, one of the big things that I just want to tell you guys is, starting a podcast or doing something like this is like the number one advice I give to young people. Like, when I go to high schools or junior high or whatever, like, the amount of impact that you guys make just by getting people on or by conversing amongst yourselves, it's value everywhere. And it's unreal, like, the job that you guys are doing. So thank you again for letting me be part of it.
Thank you. That means a ton. That means a ton to us, because, you know, Matt he has a very, very successful podcast in Power Great. And, you know, having a media company, we were talking like, hey, we need to do something that's going to make an impact upon others to help them build their brand. And that's where Define Your Brand came to came to play. And, you know, we just talked with Cole Hatter, and he was shocked at the end of the interview because he was like, the most of the podcasts I go on, they're always talking about business and this and this and this. And we ask totally different questions. We go into these podcasts asking questions not only for ourselves, because we want to learn from it, but we also want to help our audience as well. And we know by asking these questions that no one else is asking, it's going to provide a lot more value, but it's also going to help them develop in their personal brand and be able to give them a foundation, a story, you know, from yourself on how you developed it and how you got there and everything like that. So, you know, that means a lot to us, because this podcast is about our audience. It's about making an impact upon others and being able to show the value that we're bringing to the table. You know, it's not for us to get recognition. It's about creating that value and bringing many, many different minds together and be able to share that out to everybody else so they can learn things from it. So, you know, that means a ton to us. I greatly, greatly appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, to wrap it up in a nutshell, I think it speaks for itself. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what state of mind you're in. And I say this all the time on The Power of Great, is your current situation is not your defining moment. If you're truly dedicated to doing something bigger and greater, you know, success is never measured by what you step out of, rather by what you're committed to step into. And I think, Swiss, you're a bright light that we're excited to follow and watch for many, many years to come. And buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, the best is literally on the horizon for you. And whatever we can do to support you, whatever we can do to be in your corner, you got it for sure from us. And thank you again for being on the show.
Definitely. Same here. And then anyone listening to this as well, feel free to reach out. Honestly, like, even if it's to tell me more about yourself, I love stories. I love hearing about people. So reach out on LinkedIn, reach out on Facebook, whatever, but keep listening to the podcast, because honestly, loved it.
Yes. All fantastic, right, buddy. Thank you,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Thank you.